This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning, Philip C and Shazana Mokhta. We're talking about taxes, which is somewhat related to the Ministry of Finance, because one of the major or main outcomes of the recent G7 meetings is this global corporate tax reform. So the group of wealthy nations signed a historic tax agreement to address tax abuses by multinationals and online technology companies. So the agreed reform is based on two pillars.
Yeah. Pillar one expands the taxing rights of countries where there's an active and sustained participation of a business. Pillar two is designed to ensure that large multinationals pay a minimum level of tax regardless of where they are headquartered or operate.
And we know that global tax reform has been something that's been discussed on the international stage for years. Last October, the OECD estimated that as much as $81 billion in additional tax revenues each year would be raised if these reforms are implemented. And a recently released Oxford Economics report identified winners and losers from this tax reform. And that's what we're going to be discussing.
Yeah, so to elaborate more on these findings, we're crossing over to Ricardo Amaro, who's a senior economist at Oxford Economics and also the author of this report. Thanks for joining us this morning. Now, let's start off with discussing how the health pandemic has changed the way countries are looking at global corporate tax.
Yeah, so this topic has been around for many years now, but there hasn't been a great progress, to be honest. But at this time, it does look different. So, for one, the pandemic has had a profound effect on public finances around the world, and governments are scrambling for additional revenues. The other reason why corporate taxes are an attractive source is that, in barring a few exceptions, they are a modest source of revenue for most countries. So clearly exists some revenue potential here. And it also makes sense from a political perspective, given the growing public dissatisfaction with aggressive tax planning by multinationals. And finally, the pandemic has also accelerated the trend towards digitalization, which has in turn then reinforced the need to address the tax challenges posed by the digital economy.
The report states that for global reform to happen, it will be based on the OECD G20 Inclusive Framework on Base Erosion and Profit Sharing 2016 proposal, which is based on a two-pillar approach. Talk to us about this proposal and which approach the majority of countries will go for.
Sure. So just take a step back. So one complicated factor of recent months is that there indeed has been a number of at times even competing proposals on this area. So all listeners will remember Biden plans for a 21% global minimum tax rate, but the EU has also come up with a new proposal of their own, which they've called business taxation for the 21st century. And of course, more recently, the G7 has also reached what they called an historical global tax agreement. But the G7 in itself won't bring change to the global tax system. The key way to read that deal is that it's a very strong political message from global leaders and global key stakeholders. And that message is that they are behind the key principles being discussed at the OECD level. The OECD G20 Inclusive Framework on Base Erosion and Profit Shifting, the so-called BEPS process, truly remains the main vehicle for reform. This is a forum that has been created 5 years ago and includes 139 countries around the world, highlighting its true role as a global forum on the issue. As you said, the OECD process follows a two-pillar approach. And while each pillar in itself is packed with complexities, the basic ideas are actually quite simple. So pillar one would ensure that the largest and most profitable multinationals pay tax in countries where they operate and not just where they have headquarters. And pillar two is designed to ensure that large multinationals pay a minimum level of tax regardless of where they are headquartered or operated. So this would be the so-called minimum corporation tax rate, which the G7 deal proposed to put at least at 15%.
You also detailed in your report the winners and losers from this global tax reform. How might this impact the likes of the UK, France, and even Germany, who are considered winners in this category?
Exactly. So as you say in my report, we tried to look at winners and losers across Europe. And maybe the first conclusion or the first key takeaway to note is that the winners will far outnumber the losers. And that's an important takeaway. The second one is that Germany and France tend to be the main winners, followed by Italy and Spain. And this is because these countries are an important source of revenue for multinational companies due to the size of their economies. But up to now, they have not succeeded in attracting multinationals to book their profits in their territories. So this means that the taxes so far have been paid in other jurisdictions. But of course, now with Pillar 1, that would change somewhat, as it would provide these countries with the right to receive some tax from the largest and most profitable multinationals at the expense of the countries where multinationals have so far been booking profits. In terms of the UK, the UK is a bit of an exception in terms of the largest economies in Europe, as my research has highlighted that while the UK is, of course, a very relevant location in terms of customer location, it has actually been relatively successful in attracting foreign investment and multinational profits over the years. So this means the UK stands to win less than other large European economies.
But let's talk about the losers, because your report highlights four countries: Hungary, Luxembourg, the Netherlands and Ireland. And I want to focus on Netherlands and Ireland. So why won't global tax reform be in their favour?
Sure. So in terms of Ireland and Netherlands, both countries have been incredibly successful at attracting foreign investment and profits. This has provided these two countries with tax revenue, which now they will have to share with other countries under Pillar 1. So both countries would lose tax base and in turn tax revenue. And this is because of Pillar 1. In terms of Pillar 2, the story isn't exactly the same for these two countries, in the sense that Ireland's corporate tax rate at the moment is at 12.5%, which is below the 15% currently being discussed for the global minimum. So in the case of Ireland, multinationals based there would potentially face higher tax bills going forward, which in turn would reduce Ireland's attractiveness and potentially ability to attract foreign investment. In the case of Netherlands, tax rate is above the proposed minimum level at the moment. So in theory, Pillar 2 would be less relevant there. There is an important caveat, though, which is that there is some evidence that pockets of low tax profits are a feature in the Netherlands, meaning that at least in this case, multinationals would also be asked to pay higher taxes in the future.
How might such a tax reform change the way countries attract investments, since creating a tax haven is no longer a viable solution?
It is clearly the case that a reform along these lines would decrease the role of tax competition as a key factor to attract foreign investment. However, this does mean that tax competition would completely disappear, as the changes currently being discussed would put a floor rather than just fully harmonized tax rates around the world. But as tax competition becomes less important, then non-tax features would become much more important. And here we are talking about aspects like the location and distance to key markets, the education level of the workforce, the legal and regulatory environments in the country, the quality of the infrastructure, the cost levels required to operate in that country. So in summary, everything that affects the ease of doing business in that country in general.
Thank you for your time. That was Ricardo Amaro, Senior Economist at Oxford Economics, telling us about the tax reform that the G7 wants to push ahead. But it's still very early days yet. And unfortunately, I would like to know, the biggest question is, will China play ball? I mean, they are like one of the world's largest economies. Will they sign up to this?
The size of the prize is $81 billion.
Ooh, okay. And, you know, even in Malaysia, and we've had this call, we spoke to Tan Hui Bing, who's the deputy tax leader at the Deloitte Malaysia, to discuss how these tax reforms might impact us. You can listen to that podcast. It's entitled Looking Beyond Tax Incentives to Attract FDI. But I think the point is, it's early days yet. We really won't know. But stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.